The story of Mary and Martha that Brian just read for us may be the most controversial story in all of Scripture. Certainly one of them. I remember reading this in a Bible study a number of years ago, and one of the participants, she was herself a bit of a Martha, let's make that clear, and everyone knew it, got incensed by this story. Why, she said, does the Lord get angry with Martha? If it weren't for the Marthas of this world, nothing would ever get done. So let's be clear what Jesus is saying in this story. He has come to Mary and Martha's house. And just as a side note, Mary and Martha's brother is named Lazarus. He becomes important later in the story. And he's come there to visit them. And Mary sits and listens and visits with Jesus. And Martha is running all around the place, trying to get everything ready. She wants the house perfect, clean. Oh, sorry for those pillows sitting there. Oh, just move those aside. Oh, the appetizers are still in the oven. I didn't order ice. I have to get ice. And have you ever been to someone's house where they acted? Let's be clear. Martha has the best of intentions. She's trying to be the perfect hostess. But because she's running around doing all this, can't you just feel the stress level in that house just rising? And if you've ever been to someone's house who was trying to be such a wonderful host or hostess, and they're running around, and you're just wanting to say, why am I here? I'll come back when you have everything ready. Or maybe, and this is what I think Jesus is trying to say, you know, Martha, I didn't come here for a gourmet meal. I wasn't going to check the dust on your mantle. I came to visit you. Notice what else Martha is doing. She starts yelling at her guest. Did you notice that? In the middle of this, as she's running around, she suddenly says, Jesus, why aren't you telling Mary to help me? That makes for a fun evening, yelling at your guest. See, Martha's trying to be the perfect hostess, but the irony of the story is she's failing miserably because she's so distracted and worried. I mean, Jesus says to her, you're worried, distracted about so many things. Little insignificant details in the scheme of things. There's need for only one thing. What's the one thing when you're a guest at someone's house that makes you feel welcome and at home? It's when your host or hostess pays attention to you, listens to you, is engaged with you. Especially when that visitor happens to be Jesus. I mean, how often does that happen? Our psalm this morning, as I mentioned, begins with a description of the wicked. And what's really interesting to me is it describes the wicked, but it says the real problem that the wicked, the evildoers have, is they put their trust in something other than God. The psalm mentions money. You know, the righteous are kind of laughing at the evildoer and saying, this person didn't trust in God, they put their trust in money, an abundant riches. And just so none of you get distracted, anyone need to go close windows? Okay, just didn't want. Then the psalm goes on. It says, we, the righteous, should be like a tree, an olive tree, flourishing in the house of God. Because I put my trust in God. This is not the only psalm that says the righteous are like trees. Psalm 1, read the very first psalm. It begins by saying, I'm like a tree planted by streams of water.
Have you ever seen a tree running around with like a chicken with its head cut off saying, my leaves? Oh, I got to clean my leaves. Oh, water. Where am I going to get water? Oh.
When I think of a tree, I think of calm and peace. A tree is rooted firmly in the ground, and when the wind blows or the rain falls, it bends a bit.
But it doesn't go running around getting anxious.
And you know, if trees did run around anxiously, they'd never bear fruit. But because they're rooted and in place, they bear fruit and are at peace. Mary is like a tree in today's story. And the point is, Jesus is not angry at Martha. I don't think Jesus is angry at all. I think he's sad. Because he's come all this way to visit, and she's not paying any attention to him. And he wants to have conversation with her, to have this time with her. I think there are some good lessons for us, because we live in a Martha world, full of worries and distractions. We carry our distractions with us. It's no coincidence. I was just about to say this, Rolf, anyway. We carry our distractions with us in the form of technology, don't we? Oh, excuse me. How many times in conversations do you say, oh, excuse me, I've got to... We're in a world full of worries and distractions. It's a Martha world out there. There may be some Marthas in here. But especially when we are gathered together in this place, it's not Jesus coming to our house, really. It's us coming to God's house. And the point of being together like this is to focus on God and to have a place. I think one of the great lessons, models for the world that the modern church can give is a time when you can leave all the rest of that aside and be together with God. I remember the first Christmas Eve that I was a pastor. This is Christmas Eve 1997. Was in a little church up in Minnesota. And it was Christmas Eve service. I told the ushers, okay, we're going to take up an offering. And then as soon as you're done with the offering, there's no doxology or anything, come on back up front. We had the Advent candles here with the Christ candle. And I will light my candle, and you will each have a candle, and we'll then spread the light. So ushers, just come right back as soon as the offering's over. And I remember we were sitting there, and I looked out, and the ushers were standing in the back of the sanctuary waiting for something. And I thought, okay, I remember this very clearly. I have a choice here. It's really sort of a Mary or Martha choice. What do you think? I can get all bent out of shape. Ushers, come on, come up front. What are you waiting for? Come on. Or I can sit and say, you know what? How nice to have an extra 30 seconds of silence and prayer here on Christmas Eve. And you know what? Eventually the ushers will come forward. After, you know, 10 or 20 minutes, they'll realize they'll come forward. Well, I chose option two. And everything was great. About probably 6 seconds went by, and the ushers came up, and everything was fine. But it began to teach me, and I strive as worship leader to make sure all my preparation is done before 10:30 Sunday morning. So, I mean, if you stop in the church during the week, you'll probably find me wandering around in here practicing my sermon, practicing my children's message. Yeah, believe it or not, I practice these things. And, you know, getting ready so that when worship begins, I can not only lead worship, I can worship. This is a time for all of us to be together and to be. So I was going to come up with a routine sort of like the Jeff Foxworthy, you might be a redneck if, I was going to do, you might be a Martha if, but I couldn't come up with enough things, so sorry. But, you know, if you come into worship and your first thoughts are, oh, are those the right banners? What's the temperature like in here? Oh, is there food for after church? You know, is there a misspelling in the bulletin? If you're distracted by that, you're going to be distracted a lot, by the way. This is a time for us to come together and not worry about things like the, you know, whatever this is called off the microphone or thing, but to be together, to worship. The point of our being here is to focus together on God. There's plenty of worries and distractions the other 6.5 days of the week. But I would also encourage you to find time during your week to spend with God, focused on God. Turn off the electronics. Turn off the computer. Just sit and be. Because maybe the real message of the story of Mary and Martha in this psalm is we are to be like trees. Trees just are. And you know, God loves us not because of what we do, not because we've gone through everything on that to-do list and done everything on our agenda for the week. God loves us even when we fall flat on our face as total failures. God loves us not because of anything we do, but because of who we are. We are children of God. And God loves us. And so once in a while, we need to just relax in that knowledge. You know what? If I don't mow the lawn today, the lawn's not going anywhere. Let me sit and enjoy some time with God. Now, Jesus has nothing against activity. Remember, I said this story comes right after the parable of the Good Samaritan, whose moral is go and do likewise. But the point is, if we are worried and distracted by so many things, even what we do is going to be all over the place. We need moments of rest so that we can then do the work better. It's the whole idea of Sabbath. But that's for another sermon. Friends, we all have competing Martha and Mary tendencies within us. This week I encourage you to find some time to be a little more Mary, a little more like a tree, to rest and be and enjoy God's presence, so that then you can get up and go and do what needs to be done and do it well. Amen.